This first scripture is from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Second scripture, Luke chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, named Cleopas, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" And they said to him, "Things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word and in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So the title of the message is Hope Deferred, and point one is sick hearts. We had hoped. We had let ourselves believe that this one time that the entrenched power, the corrupt politicians would not win the day. We had seen something in this Jesus of Nazareth, something of beauty and compassion and healing, and he was fearless to confront injustice. And we thought finally, good might triumph over evil. We had hoped, but it ended the same way as always. The chief priests, the rulers, those who hold the control, whipped him, killed him. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Then these women came and said angels had appeared to them and that the tomb was empty. But there's something about a broken heart, a sick heart. It doesn't want to believe anymore. It had its hope high, and it got broken. And so these ladies are coming, and especially in those days, women weren't even legal witnesses. And so they're like, I think they might just be wanting something to be true that's not true. And so they sent some people to check out the tomb, and it was empty. We don't know where the body is, but we didn't see him. It's hard to believe when you have a sick heart. The Bible says that Jesus himself drew near them and started walking with them. He came anonymously, unannounced, uninvited. This is what God does for broken hearts. Psalm 34:18 says that he draws near to the brokenhearted. Doesn't say whether the brokenhearted believe in him or ask for him or even want him. This is just who he is. He draws near to brokenhearted people. He draws near to sick hearts. So last week, I was in the hot tub at the Princeton Club. I know, tough job. And there was a guy in the hot tub. I'm going to call him Bob. And he was sitting across from me and
very successful engineer who is now retired, and I'm asking about his family, and he's got these kids that are doing great, amazing things, and his wife's involved in all this charity work, and I was asking if it was through the church that she was doing that, and he said, well, I actually have a friend that's a pastor, but I'm scientific. I'm an atheist. I'm like, okay. So tell me about that. Why would you being scientific mean that you were also had to be an atheist? And I could tell he had had this conversation before because he came across that hot tub to sit next to me because he was going to tell me why he was an atheist. And he said, let me tell you. He said, I believe in evolution. I believe religion is something that man made up. I believe that man made it up to control, to manipulate, to all of this stuff. And then he recounted why he believes this. And there was some church hurt there. People get brokenhearted, but we're especially vulnerable at church. Here's why. We expect the world to be horrible. We expect the world that is going to be corrupt, but when something happens to us in church, we had our hopes up. We had our hope that God might be real and that there might be help and healing. And when it feels like it's just like the world when you're in church, something breaks inside of us. And usually the first sign of a broken heart is sadness. And then you can't live sad all your life, so you become hard. Become cynical. This is where Bob was. And I said, bro, have you ever considered that instead of religion being what has poisoned the hearts of man, have you ever thought that maybe it's the hearts of man that has poisoned religion? I said, Bob, you really don't have an issue with Jesus. I said, everything you're angry about that religion did, Jesus was angry about those exact same things. Jesus is amazing. To get the rest of what happened in that hot tub, you're going to have to come Sunday morning. To be continued on Sunday morning. So point one was sick hearts. Point two was our need to have our perspective of things changed. He said, you are slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. You guys have cherry-picked the prophets. You took the passages about Messiah that you like, all these prophecies about Christ's millennial reign where he will rule the whole world and with an iron fist crush injustice, and you want this powerful Messiah that will take over and get rid of the Romans and make your life better. They had this image of Messiah. The first time that Jesus asks his disciples who they think he is, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter. You didn't figure that out yourself. The Father has revealed that to you. But there's a problem. Peter's got an idea of what the Christ is, and it's more of that power, ruling, dominant, forceful king. And Jesus says, you got it right, Peter. He said, but the Messiah is actually gonna suffer. He's gonna be turned over to the chief priests and rulers, and they're gonna kill him. And on the third day, he's gonna rise again. And Peter says, this will never happen to you. At which point, Jesus rebukes him. And I'm gonna read it to you. This is Mark chapter 8. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So man's idea is no suffering, no cross, no pain. And Jesus says, you don't understand who the Messiah is. You're thinking about things the way man thinks about them. But this isn't how God thinks about it. Peter, not only will there be a cross for me, but if you want to follow me, there's going to be a cross for you. Here's our problem. Here's what we want from religion. We want religion to make our life a little bit better. We've got this life, and if God can help us make it a little better, then God, we want to include you because we want to have a little better life than we currently have. Well, unfortunately, Jesus didn't come to make your life better. He came to give you new life. And to get that new life, you actually have to, there's going to be a cross. You're going to have to let go of your current life, your current priority, your current whatever you were trying to get God to do for you. And say, God, I want the life you came to give. It's a change of perspective. Jesus then began to speak to them from the prophets. He started with Moses. Moses wrote the first five books, and these were prophetic books. They happened in history, but they were also prophetic. And what did he say about the Christ from Moses? Well, I'm not sure, but I can imagine. He talked a little about Abraham and Isaac and that ram on the mountain that foreshadowed the cross. Abram's name was changed to Father. And God spoke to him and said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him on the mountain. And at this time, Abraham's very old, and Isaac's this strong young man. And so the wood for the sacrifice is put on Isaac's back. Isaac carries his own wood up the mount. And then Isaac freely lays himself down so that Abraham can tie him. And just when he's about to kill him, the angel says, don't do it. And he looks over and there's a ram in the thicket, which is a male lamb. And Jesus is saying, Messiah was both Isaac, the only son, the beloved son that the Father gave to this world, and Messiah is foreshadowed by that lamb. He is the only son, and he's the Lamb of God. I'm sure he took him to Passover. It is Passover, but Jesus died on Passover. Messiah was foreshadowed by Passover. The Jewish people had to take a lamb without blemish. They had to kill it on Passover and then apply its blood to the doorposts and the lintel of the house. And every place that the blood was applied, judgment passed over. Every one of those lambs foreshadowed Messiah that would come. Isaiah told about Messiah if you'll only listen to him. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, upon Messiah, was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. His sheep, mankind, had gone astray. We each had gone to our own way. So Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus said to them, the Messiah came. He had to become a lamb himself. He had to become one of them so that he could take the penalty for their sin upon himself. Messiah bore the punishment of mankind. The final prophet is John the Baptist. Jesus called him the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And here's how he began his ministry. When he saw Jesus of Nazareth, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of the blood that was shed by all of those lambs could only cover sin year by year by year. Only Jesus could remove sin as the Lamb of God. Messiah suffered for you, and he rose from the dead for you. Haven't you read in Hosea? He has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. He died for you and he rose for you so that you could live now before him. Point three, last point, healed hearts. Matthew 9:12, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Every human being is both a rebel and a victim. We've all sinned, we've all gone our own way, we've all done our own thing. And we're also victims of this world, and we get sick of heart. We get sick in our hearts because of failure and disappointment and the sins of others and the darkness that's all around us. And Jesus came to heal our hearts so that we can believe, and then he can forgive our sins. It says in Isaiah 61, it's about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus is the only one that can heal hearts. If you've been healed of a broken heart, Jesus did it, whether it was anonymous or not, whether you knew it was Jesus, he's the only one that can. All man can do is talk you through it and make you help you understand why you're broken and give you a pill. Jesus is the only one that can heal what's broken inside of us. And it often happens through an encounter with him. Luke 24:28-32. So this is the next verse after the prophets. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? In just a moment, Pastor Chris is going to come and lead us in communion. As Jesus broke bread, he revealed himself to them. Everything that they had hoped was true. He opened the scripture. He opened the perspective of God. And then they saw him for who he was. And healing comes to the sick heart. So as Chris comes now to give us communion, I want you to give your sadness to him. However your heart has been broken, give your sadness and disappointment to him. If it's gone beyond sadness and you're now cynical and hard, give that to him. It says that he's going to take out the heart of stone and he's going to replace it with a heart of flesh. Give him, instead of living in self-protection, open up your heart and let Jesus bring his healing to you.